So much going on in the world of sports this week, so let's take some time now to check the score with Chris Siderick. Chris!
Hey, Tiziana.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Okay, there is a lot of stuff going on right here in Boston, but I actually think we have to start with a wild World Series Game 6 last night in Houston. For folks who missed it, can you give us the recap?
Yeah, it was a crazy game, and this World Series needed it because it has been pretty much a snooze fest since Game 1. This was actually last night the first lead change in this entire series since Game 1. Pretty unreal. But anyway, the Houston Astros are up 2-1. The Nationals come back to tie it up in the fifth. They go up one run, 3-2. A one-run lead in baseball is never safe. One pitch, one swing of the bat can wipe that off the board, obviously. So getting a couple more runs is a big deal in that scenario. Nationals leadoff hitter Trey Turner finds himself hitting a slow grounder down the third baseline. He is safe at first, but the umps actually call him out for runner interference. Let's take a listen to what that sounded like on the broadcast last night.
Let's take another look. You can run in this spot. You have to veer back towards the bag. And that is a tough call. He was inside the bag all the way to the end.
But, I mean, he's right on it.
So this is a tough situation because he
I'm
runs.
I'm cracking up. They're showing so much restraint, but in the moment.
You can feel it in their voice, right?
Yeah.
That this was a really controversial call. And Joe Buck even said this could be a series-changing call. Turner runs right up the baseline. He's technically in fair territory, so technically this is the right call. But ultimately, first base is in fair territory, so the runner kind of has to be in fair territory, especially at the end of the line there. So anyway, it looked like that could end up actually tainting the whole series, could end up ending it. If Houston won last night, that ends the series. They're the champs. But fortunately for the Nationals, Adam Eaton pops out, and then the next hitter, Anthony Rendon, steps to the plate and did this.
Now there with two out, and Rendon shoots one into left. Back at the wall. And the lead is three here in the seventh inning for the Nationals. It's 5-2 as Rendon may have just rescued this inning for Washington.
Huge, huge moment in terms of momentum. The Nationals go on to win, send it to Game 7. As they say, ball don't lie.
Wait, what?
Ball don't lie. It's kind of this. I love this concept. It's sports karma, basically. They were robbed by the umpires, and so ultimately the ball delivers true justice.
Yeah, you know balls can't do that, right?
I'm telling you, this is a thing. Trust me.
All right, listen, I just got to ask. This was, again, in Houston. Has anyone won a home game yet?
Not in this series, which is the first time that's ever happened.
It's kind of freaky.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I heard the Nationals pitcher, Steven Strasburg, was actually, it's like poker. He had a tell. He was tipping his pitches.
Yeah. This is actually a really interesting story. There's a great Sports Illustrated article that folks should check out. They give you kind of the inside play-by-play of what happened. A Nationals scouting coordinator noticed that he's doing it. This has been an ongoing thing for Strasburg throughout his career. He kind of shows the grip that he's putting on the ball, and batters can tell what pitch he's going to throw based on how he grabs the ball. And so the scouting coordinator says to the pitching coach, he's doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pitching coach is in this weird spot where he has to decide. Strasburg is one of those kind of those enigmas athletes. Don't talk to me, basically, while I'm pitching. Don't talk to me.
A little bit of a touchy guy.
But ultimately, you're tipping your pitches. You kind of have to let your pitcher know that. The pitching coach speaks to Strasburg. Strasburg fixes what he's doing and ends up going into the ninth inning and pitching incredibly well. He was asked on the field afterwards whether or not he realized he was tipping his pitches at the time.
I definitely didn't because, you know, it's something that, you know, has burned me in the past and they burned me there in the first. But, you know, it's just a part of the game. And, you know, you got to do your best to, you know, stay consistent in your delivery on each pitch.
Once again, with the understatement.
Yeah, exactly right. That's a big part of baseball is trying to figure out what's coming next. Clearly, changing his delivery made the difference. He gave up those two runs in the first pitch into the ninth inning without giving up another run.
So that really could have been the thing.
Yeah, it seems like it was.
All right, so tonight is Game 7. All bets are off in the Game 7 of a World Series. So what are you watching for?
Ultimately, first of all, there's nothing better than a Game 7, right? Because literally anything can happen. Anyone on the bench could end up in the game in any situation. Any pitcher in the bullpen could end up in the game.
Everything's on the line. End up in the game.
You never know, right? But ultimately, this one is about the pitching matchup, actually. You've got Max Scherzer is going to be starting for the Nationals. That's a big deal. He was actually scratched from his start over the weekend with neck spasms. He was in a neck brace this weekend, could not turn his head at all. He was warming up last night in the bullpen. He will be starting tonight.
I'm actually kind of worried about him.
I mean, it's one of those things. It's what athletes do. They're paid the big bucks to perform in the big moments, and Game 7 World Series is about as big as it gets. He's going up against Zach Greinke for the Astros. It's the first time ever, actually, that two former Cy Young winners are starting Game 7 of a World Series. So tonight's all about the pitching matchup.
Yeah. And your prediction?
I mean, the Astros have been the heavy favorite all along. I gotta pick the Nationals. Everybody loves the underdog, right?
That's right. So, yeah. Well, they do Baby Shark, so I want to go. All right,
don't get me started.
Let's shift gears. We'll go to the Pats because we've been talking about them off and on for these first 8 weeks, and I have said to you, let's say that I have expressed some concern about the entertainment value of the games.
They're boring. Their games have been boring. You've said that, and I told you, you're not wrong. They have been boring.
Will the next one be boring?
Hopefully not. This is the best game they've had so far this year. They're going up against Baltimore. Looks like one of the strongest teams in the AFC. So it should be a good matchup. Baltimore also has a pretty long history with New England. They're one of those franchises that's not afraid to play the Patriots. A lot of teams seem intimidated just coming into Foxborough. This game's in Baltimore. But it'll be interesting to see how they match up. Baltimore has a very mobile quarterback. He runs a lot. Pat's defense obviously has looked phenomenal this year. So it should be a good matchup.
Okay, but the Pats are 8-0. Baltimore may be tough, but so far we don't have any reason to believe the Pats will lose. Are we looking at an undefeated season?
So this is starting to be talked about in Boston sports media.
They were talking about it in August.
It's on the table. These guys have maybe the best defense this team has ever seen. One of the best the NFL has ever seen, I think. They are playing at a phenomenal clip right now. The phrase 19-0 gives me triggers a little bit because of 2007. That is still one of the five worst days of my life. I will never forget that. So there's the added pressure of trying to finish the 19-0. But you think of all the things that this team has accomplished. This is the kind of that one thing they haven't accomplished. So I wouldn't be surprised if deep down Belichick and Brady want that.
All right. And very quickly, you've mentioned D a couple of times. That is kind of the definitive characteristic of this year's team. And it's a little weird.
It's a little weird for folks because it's been a while since we've seen it. But for me, I love it. This harkens back to those 2003, 2004 teams where the defense was the driving force. And the offense is just there to kind of manage the game and to protect the ball. You got to love, these guys have given themselves a nickname, the Boogeymen, which just takes me right back to the 70s and 80s with the steel curtain and the purple people eaters. And I love a good nickname. So you got to root for these guys.
All right. Now, shifting gears, you shocked me a couple of months ago with the possibility Tom Brady might play somewhere else. But it's kind of sounding like people are talking about that.
Yeah, I think Adam Schefter from ESPN really kind of sparked that about a week ago. He's pretty plugged into the NFL scene. He has a lot of inside sources. And he said, basically, look, there are three scenarios. Brady comes back to the Pats, Brady retires, or Brady goes somewhere else. He said he thinks coming back to the Pats would be the least likely scenario. So that caught a lot of people's ears. He's walked it back a little bit since then. But Brady's been a little bit on the fence about this issue. Here he is talking with Jim Gray in his weekly interview on Westwood One this Monday.
Someone told me the past and future are in the mind. I'm in the now. And I think that's a great way to live life. So I'm not thinking about many things beyond this week.
And I just want to play one other cut from him. This is from back in August, right after he signed his most recent contract. Just take a listen to how he words his response when he was asked if he was happy with his contract.
It is what it is. That's a good line. So whoever said it, it's very pertinent. So like I said, there's a lot of guys who have, you know, 1 year left on their contract. So the situation, I got 1 year to go, and we'll see what happens.
As they would say in politics, he's running.
Yeah, cryptic, right? So, look, he sold his house. He changed the wording in his contract. So, basically, the contract expires at the end of the year. The team can't franchise tag him, which means they can't bring him back at the going market rate for a one-year period. Who knows? It's undecided. I don't know if he knows what he's doing yet, but it's definitely on the table that he could be wearing a different uniform.
Okay, there's the Halloween scare for the Patriots.
I'm not rooting
fans.
For that. I am not rooting for that. It could happen.
That's Radio Boston's Chris Siderick. Chris, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, stay with us. Coming up, we will talk to college students about how they're looking at 2020. I'm Tiziana Dearing. This is Radio Boston.